Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, obviously, menopause and perimenopause can be a highly distressing time in a woman's life. And for their male partners, it can be baffling, frustrating, even threaten their relationship. Nikki Woods is the author of The Man's Guide to Menopause. Nikki, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Did you find, Nikki, that a lot of men just didn't have a clue what was going on when suddenly their partner started acting out of the ordinary?
Absolutely, yes. That was definitely the feedback that I'd had from a lot of men was, I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah. But did the woman know what was happening? Presumably she had some clue of this.
Well, some do and some don't. And that's added another layer of complication, obviously, for the men and for the women. Is for us women, it's a huge learning curve as well. And sometimes it completely catches us unawares and it takes a while for our understanding of what's happening to catch up for us as well.
Yeah. OK, so then in that scenario, if a man sees their partner is acting out of the ordinary and thinks it might be the menopause or the perimenopause, should you say it to them or do you kind of let them come to that conclusion by themselves?
I think it depends what's going on. But I do think that in a partnership, it can be really helpful for the partner to be able to say, you know, you don't seem yourself. What do you think's going on? But there's also sometimes a bit of a weird sign that sometimes women will actually say, I don't understand what's happening, or I think it's my hormones, but not really have the clue themselves, which is opening the door to the man asking the questions as well. Mm. But in addition, sometimes some of the perimenopausal symptoms that we could be struggling with, for example, some mood-related symptoms, we might not even realize that our mood's declined that much. And to have a supportive partner be able to offer that compassionate perspective of, you know, you don't seem like yourself, or do you feel like something's going on? That can be the support that we need to realize quite how bad things have got for ourselves as well.
Yeah. Okay. But it sounds like though, to a certain extent, I mean, if someone's in, you know, if a woman's kind of in menopause or perimenopause, they're in a bit of a dark place, they might be, their temper might be a bit short. Any approach of that sort mightn't be helpful, might actually make things worse.
I think it really does depend on the person. I think that there's a way of doing things. Obviously, in relationships, it can be quite difficult for either party not to feel sensitive. So obviously, these conversations need to be handled with sensitivity. And potentially, the first conversation might not go as well as someone would have hoped.
Mm. I
do think that ultimately, if we're approaching the conversations with compassion and understanding how to ask open questions, hold space, looking for understanding and the common aim that we want to support our partners, then that's going to work a lot better than a kind of an accusatory conversation, which is going to seem much more antagonistic, if that makes sense.
Yes, no, absolutely. What do you mean by hold space?
So basically, it's a terminology that comes from therapy. And what it means is that you are going to listen before you jump in and have any judgment. And you're just going to listen to what the person's saying, that they feel like, that you're going to just give them that space that they can speak without judgment about what they're feeling, how they're feeling. It might be that you don't necessarily agree with everything that they are saying, but instead of just immediately jumping in, you let them express those feelings and feel like they're being heard first.
Yeah. And can it vary, especially in the perimenopause stage, can those symptoms vary? Can women experience it in different ways?
Absolutely, yes. There's going on for 50 symptoms and you get your own little assortment of symptoms. And they change over time, which makes it even more confusing. 75% of women will get some symptoms. 50% of those will be not kind of impacting severely or debilitating. They'll just be kind of at a manageable level. But there's things like the hot flushes and night sweats that obviously everyone's always associated with perimenopause and menopause. There's cognitive changes such as memory issues, brain fog, joint stiffness, fatigue, mood changes, as you mentioned, sleep disturbances. Women have a hugely far more issues with sleep during perimenopause than and menopause at any other time. This infamous kind of 3-4 a.m. wakening. Anxiety that can come from nowhere, potentially weight gain, libido changes, and also changes to our genitourinary system, which can mean that we feel like we've got urinary infections the whole time or vaginal dryness that can be quite painful. So any of the body systems could be affected, or all of the body systems could be affected. So it can be quite profound.
Yes, indeed. And now, but I suppose from the male point of view, from the partner's point of view, one significant part of this might be that the woman seems to just withdraw from them.
Yes, that's quite often can be the case. That's either because of the mood changes or just generally just feeling like the straw has broken the camel's back, that the woman feels like she just kind of goes into herself a bit more. There are some changes that can biologically mean that this happens as well, to do with oxytocin levels. The difficulty is sometimes people don't realize they're doing it, and so they don't communicate that to their partner, and their partner obviously may feel like they take it personally, where it's not actually intended to be a rejection of the partner.
Yes. And I mean, I suppose part of that, and you describe some of the symptoms there, that they'll go and sleep in another room and perhaps stay there for a long period of time.
Yeah. And actually, when I was interviewing men to hear their perspectives for my book, I interviewed one man who explained that his partner had started sleeping in another room. And he hadn't realized, and he felt very rejected, but he hasn't realized that she was doing that from a place of love, not rejection, because she was sleeping incredibly badly and she didn't want to disturb him. So when she was awake half the night, tossing and turning and having her hot flushes, she didn't want him to lose his sleep as well, because she knew he had to go to do a day's work as well. And so she went and slept in the other room because she wanted him to get a good night's sleep. But they hadn't discussed this adequately, and he felt very rejected by that. And once he understood what was happening and also kind of worked a bit on his own feelings, then it was much improved, because she still did it, but he understood why she was doing it, and they could make him feel less rejected in other ways instead.
Yeah. Another thing, I suppose, is how psychologically it affects a woman, because it's I don't know if this is overstating it, but it's almost like your body going, that's it for you now. And that somehow you're less of a woman when this change is taking place.
I think that for some women, that can be a very profound part of the difficulty of coming through this stage, that maybe men don't realise quite how much this can mean to some women. Firstly, because, let's be honest, in society, a woman getting older is viewed more negatively than a man getting older. But of course, it also means that it's the end of our reproductive possibility. And that changes how we view ourselves. And also, if we feel incredibly knackered and not particularly sexually attractive,
yeah,
and maybe we've put some weight on as well, and we see ourselves looking older, that can really impact on confidence as well.
Yeah. Plus also, I mean, on the subject of sex, I mean, there are all sorts of physiological and physical elements to this too. But for the again, from the partner's point of view, from the man's point of view, do they have to accept that maybe there would be a period where there won't be sex?
It really depends on the person, because there is quite a high proportion of women who will have vaginal or urinary issues, and also a quite a high proportion, about 40%, who will have some form of libido issues during this time. Now, some women aren't bothered by that, but others find that themselves very distressing and do want to get their libido back and do want to have an active sexual relationship. So it really depends on the person. Obviously, within any relationship, sometimes there's mismatch in terms of sexual desire. But also what happens during this time is the sorts of things that women find a turn on and find sexually pleasurable can change. So because we've got more issues with vaginal dryness, for example, it might be that we need to use lube that we didn't in the past. And obviously for some people that is associated with negatively when it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
There is already an orgasm gap in terms of how long it takes a woman to reach a climax compared to a man. And so obviously that needs to be paid attention to. So certain things might need to be paid more attention to in the lead up to actually penetrative sex. Additionally, the clitoral sensation can be reduced. So it may be that toys are needed to ensure that the woman's getting as much pleasure. So basically what some of that comes down to is people might have to pay more attention to being better lovers, more communicative in the bedroom than they used to when everyone was younger and less tired and had a higher libido.
Yeah. Let me read out some comments from some of the listeners, because a lot of what you're saying is chiming with people. Dan says, my wife is currently going through menopause. I never know what to say. I don't want to draw attention to it, but I know she's struggling. She isn't herself. I just don't want to say it to her. It's causing huge frustration for both of us. Another listener says, the medication is something that I find hard to explain to my husband. He looks at me now like I'm sick because I have to take different things each morning. He doesn't know how essential these are for me. Someone else says, menopause for me, I felt like I was having a midlife crisis and I started acting like a teenager. I'm a man in my 50s, says Kieran. I was told by my woman, as a man, I don't know. I'm not even to mention the menopause because we know nothing. I was told to keep my mouth shut. And someone else says, sexual desire and the uncomfortable experience of sex are two different things. It's not that I don't want sex right now. I find it too sore. Well, knowing that, I suppose that it would be sore would kind of put you off there. Sometimes if from some of those comments, it's like it's that basic level of communication about it is very, very difficult.
Absolutely. And this is where knowledge is key. So, for example, if we take the example of the lady who she's finding sex to be painful, it could be potentially that a combination of vaginal moisturizer, lubricant and vaginal estrogen and a slower initiation of lovemaking might mean that she doesn't find that so painful, for example. But we don't know that unless we can talk about some of these things in, you know, common conversations and then in intimate conversations as well. For the man who doesn't know what to say, the first person that you mentioned, it's about approaching the conversations kind of gently and with compassion. And what does that person want to communicate? And it can be quite difficult to start the conversations. But then the advice that I always give and that men have always given to other men when I've asked them what advice would they give is listen. Because sometimes the woman, once you give her kind of permission to talk and you don't just jump in with solutions, you just listen, it can all slowly come out bit by bit. But women can feel very vulnerable. And of course, men can at the same time. But women can feel very vulnerable communicating some of this stuff. And you just kind of have to open the door to it gently.
Yeah.
And then little by little, hopefully come out.
Though it sounds like it can at times be a kind of a lonely experience for both people in the relationship. What can men do to get a bit of support in that?
So, shameless plug, I do actually have a Facebook group that is I'm the Only Woman. It's a closed group that is for men to ask questions and give and receive peer support. I also think that it does help if men talk to each other about it. And I also think that sometimes it's worth having conversations in a wider arena. So, for example, there's something called Andy's Man Club that is a more general men's mental health that's in all of England and Scotland. I don't know if you have it in Ireland. That's really good for just giving men those spaces to talk openly within a male peer group about these things. And ultimately, it's about destigmatizing the conversations. And I think some of opening these conversations about the menopause can actually open conversations about men's mental health as well.
Nikki, thanks a million for speaking with us today. Nikki Woods is the author of The Man's Guide to Menopause.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.